The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business, like Delta Airlines. Together with T-Mobile for Business, Delta Airlines is putting 5G into the hands of ground staff so they can better assist on-the-go travelers with real-time information. From the Delta Sky Club to the Jet Bridge, this is elevating customer experience. And Tractor Supply trusts 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business to connect over 2,200 stores around the country with 5G business internet. Plus, T-Mobile is powering AI solutions so Tractor Supply team members can match shoppers with the products they need faster. This is enriching customer experience. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Hey there, I'm Brad. I'm about to win the Tuesday Night Bowling League Championship. I'm also a highway worker for the Ohio Department of Transportation. When you move over and slow down, you're making sure I can bowl the winning strike with my buddies.
Remember, they're not just roadside workers. Thank you for moving over and slowing down.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store or online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fantasy managers? Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and it's the weekend. So as always, I'll be taking over for Bubba as the host of this weekend edition of the podcast. You can follow me at Jake Crumpler on Twitter and can find all of my work at CrumplerBaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball related from Friday, July 12th. We'll start it off, as always, with the transactions, injuries, news, and notes from around the league. Starting with the bad news, relief pitcher Justin Slayton of the Red Sox was placed on the 15-day IL with right elbow inflammation. Slayton has been a revelation for the Red Sox in his debut campaign after being selected in the Rule 5 draft. Slayton will head to the IL for what will likely be the remainder of the month, and it's understandable given he's already thrown 42 innings this year, so his workload has been pretty high for a rookie pitcher. With Chris Martin already out, Zach Kelly and Brennan Bernardino will be the top setup men in Boston. In terms of transactions, infielder Yorbeet Vivas was recalled from the minors by the Yankees. It was in a corresponding move to J.D. Davis being placed on the 10-day IL, but Vivas is the Yankees' number 15 prospect according to MLB Pipeline and has shown an impressively patient approach at the plate with a 17% walk rate at AAA in his first season with the Yankees organization since being acquired in a trade with the Dodgers in the offseason. Unfortunately, Vivas will have trouble finding entry into the lineup, seeing most of his time backing up DJ LeMahieu at third base. In a surprising move, utility man Whit Merrifield was released by the Phillies. It's been a career worst campaign for Merrifield, who has a 65 WRC plus and has been worth negative 0.2 F-WAR, the first time he's been worth negative WAR since he debuted. A career low 209 BABIP is the culprit for his poor slash line, but Merrifield is not the player he once was. He's now in his mid-30s, but he'll be free to catch on with any team as he is now a free agent. Closing pitcher David Bednar of the Pirates was activated from the 15-day IL. Bednar had been on the IL since June 23rd, but will reclaim the closer role in Pittsburgh. Aroldis Chapman will see a downturn in his fantasy viability moving forward as he sees fewer save opportunities. Second baseman Xander Bogaerts was activated from the 10-day IL by the Padres. Bogaerts hit the IL back on May 22nd with a fractured left shoulder and is surprisingly game-ready after less than 2 months. Prior to the injury, Bogaerts was in the middle of the worst season of his career with a 70 WRC+, but Bogaerts batted .333 across 6 rehab games, so hopefully he can carry that over as he reclaims the everyday role at the keystone position in San Diego. Starting pitcher Brian Wu of the Mariners was activated from the 15-day IL. Wu has dealt with elbow troubles all year, but a hamstring injury sent him to the IL on June 25th. Wu struggled in his return, surrendering 4 runs while failing to escape the fourth in Anaheim, and despite all the injuries, injuries and this performance, Wu still has a 2.45 ERA and should be rostered everywhere. And lastly, third baseman Joey Ortiz of the Brewers was activated from the 10-day IL. Ortiz missed the minimum time with neck inflammation. And if Ortiz was dropped in your league, I'd say go pick him up right now. He's posted a 133 WRC plus with great plate discipline and has an everyday role in Milwaukee. And he should continue to have success moving forward as his underlying metrics support this level of performance. And in terms of news, third baseman Max Muncy of the Dodgers has still not made any progress in his recovery from an oblique strain. He's been out already for a couple months, and the Dodgers suggest there's little chance that Muncy will return before the trade deadline, so we won't see Muncy back on the Dodgers until August at the earliest. And lastly, starting pitcher Garrett Crochet was on an innings and pitch limit in his two-inning start yesterday. Crochet will also be the fifth starter out of the All-Star break, giving the breakout southpaw ample rest before the second half and a potential deadline trade. Now we'll check out the notable performances from Friday, a day in which we had a full slate of 15 games. We'll start it off with our hitters, leading off with Willie Calhoun, who helped the Angels to a win versus the Mariners, going 2-for-5 with 2 runs, 2 home runs, and 4 runs batted in. He's up to 4 home runs on the year now. The first one traveled 381 feet at 100 miles per hour, and the second one traveled 409 feet at 104 miles per hour. A former top prospect, Calhoun has only had one season in which he performed at an above average level at the plate. That came all the way back in 2019, and all of the hype surrounding Calhoun faded as he hasn't done much since then, and we could attribute that outlier season to the juice ball. Now at the age of 29, Calhoun has found a home in the DH spot in Anaheim. His WRC plus is a career high 114, and he's getting the consistent playing time he's so badly needed throughout his career. Unfortunately, Calhoun isn't much of a stalwart in standard fantasy leagues. He lacks the everyday role and slugging prowess to be a contributor in the run producing categories, and his sub 3% barrel rate isn't conducive to future success in the power department. Calhoun's standout skill is his contact ability. The left-handed hitter sports a 14% strikeout rate and an expected batting average of 290. In 15-team and AL-only leagues, Calhoun is interesting if you need help in the batting average department, but don't let this game fool you into thinking he's all of a sudden rediscovered his power stroke from 2019. Jose Iglesias helped the Mets to a win versus the Rockies, going 2-for-4 with 2 runs, 2 home runs, and 2 runs batted in. He's up to 3 home runs on the year now. The first one traveled 389 feet at 102 miles per hour, while the second one traveled 399 feet at 104 miles per hour. Iglesias has quietly been not terrible since leaving Detroit ahead of the 2019 season. He's batted 294 across the past 5 seasons, and it certainly doesn't feel that way, likely because he's jumped between so many teams over the years. He's never felt like a coveted free agent. He didn't even play in the majors last year, and he's in his mid-30s. Nonetheless, Iglesias has joined the Mets and immediately endeared himself to the fans in Queens. Iglesias has batted 347 with a 166 WRC plus through 28 games, and will continue to see time at second base if he keeps hitting like this. It's somewhat believable as Iglesias is sporting a career-low 9% strikeout rate, supporting a batting average north of 300. However, Iglesias won't often find himself being the power threat that he was on Friday, but he should be rostered in NL-only leagues while he's getting consistent playing time and hitting at a career-best level. And lastly, we have Rhys Hines as he helped the Reds to win versus the Marlins, going 1-for-3 with 2 runs, a home run, 4 runs batted in, and a walk. It was his third home run of the year, and it traveled 397 feet at 105 miles per hour. And what a start to Hines' career. It's been Cincinnati's number 15 prospect. Hines homered in each of his first 2 career games and compiled 8 hits across his first 4 games entering Friday. And in that game on Friday, he hit a grand slam, doubling his RBI tally, and it's certainly exciting, and it really gets your mind racing about how much he could potentially help your fantasy team. Well, I'm definitely intrigued, but I don't think I'm totally sold yet. Hines is an incredible athlete, akin to teammate Ellie De La Cruz. He hits the ball hard and he runs fast, but he also strikes out a lot. De La Cruz is the same way, but he's found a way to make things work because his standout skills overshadow his deficiencies. Whether that will be the case for Hines going forward, it's hard to tell, but so far he's proven that the swing and miss and his approach won't hold him back from impacting the game in a major way. Hines has 30-30 potential, but is likely to sport a batting average south of 250. However, his everyday lineup spot in a great hitter's park should outweigh his low batting average. I say go pick him up in whatever league you're in. But if you'd like a breakdown of notable hitting performances from Friday, check out the Daily Batters Box article over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the mound and check out the notable starting pitching performances, opening with Kyle Hendricks as he helped the Cubs Cubs to a win in St. Louis. He earned the win, tossing 7 scoreless innings, allowing just 5 hits and 1 walk while striking out 3. He induced 6 whiffs with 28% CSW across 90 pitches. And if there's one thing Hendricks is good for, it's shutting down the rival Cardinals. With 7 shutout innings, Hendricks lowered his career ERA against the Cardinals to 2.42 across 28 starts. Hendricks avoided the middle of the zone on Friday, splitting his 6 whiffs evenly between his sinker and his signature change. He wasn't that great though, but the Cards were too eager to swing out of the zone and produce weak contact. It's really the only way Hendricks can survive unless his command is impeccable, which is difficult to expect in his mid-30s. And Hendricks is not a starter to consider in fantasy, as his floor is about as low as it gets and his ceiling is limited by his inability to induce whiffs. Hendricks is likely to get the Brewers out of the All-Star break if he still has a job, and that's a clear avoid. Next, we have Spencer Schwellenbach, as he helped the Brewers to win in San Diego. He earned the win as well, tossing 7 innings, allowing 3 hits and 1 earned run. He walked 1 while striking out 3, inducing 4 whiffs with 21% CSW across 94 pitches. Schwellenbach got me excited with a deep arsenal and a heater with good shape and velocity, but I have mixed feelings about his time in the majors thus far. Since a 6-run outing in his second start, Schwellenbach has pitched to a 3.34 ERA across his past 6 starts, including this one. Despite that success and my initial interest, Schwellenbach doesn't have me swooning over him. I think it's because he hasn't exhibited a clear approach, and his success has relied heavily on getting away with mistakes in the zone. His 10.4% mistake rate is in the bottom 3% of the league, and he'll have to learn how to live on and off the edges of the zone if he wants to maintain his success. And that's exactly what we saw in San Diego on Friday. Schwellenbach had an approach with each of his pitches, and the strike zone plot paints a clear picture even with his deep repertoire. Though he didn't get the pitch level results you would expect from the line he produced, just 4 whiffs and barely scraping 20% CSW suggests Schwellenbach got lucky on balls in play in this one. I'm still uncertain how to feel about him, and he's giving me major Andrew Abbott vibes of just like, throw your hands up into the air. I don't know what to think about this guy, but he's still finding success. And anyway, it's a pretty clear Vargas rule at this point, and Schwellenbach would get either the Reds or Cardinals out of the All-Star break, and those are both starts in my book. And lastly, we have Sean Manaea, as he helped the Mets to win versus the Rockies. He earned the win, tossing 7 innings, allowing 5 hits and 3 earned runs with 1 walk. He struck out 9, inducing 12 whiffs with 28% CSW across 107 pitches. Manaea's sweeper continues to be a game changer for him. It led the way with 6 whiffs and 25% CSW, while his gyro slider chipped in with 3 additional whiffs as well. All the sinker had to do was steal a few strikes, and Manaea was able to dominate the Rockies. After back-to-back 6-run outings to kick off June, Manaea's rebounded with a 2.02 ERA and a 26% strikeout rate across his last 6 starts. I think this is more than a Vargas rule though, as Manaea has kept this up all season outside of a couple hiccups, and he's sort of a different pitcher because of the sweeper he added in the second half last year with the Giants. His 3.46 ERA this year is the lowest of his career, but he'll need to rein in the double-digit walk rate if he wants to keep this success up in the second half. Manaea is likely to face the Marlins out of the break, and we gotta keep holding on to him as he continues to get great matchups and capitalizing on them. But if you'd like a breakdown of every single start from Friday, give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Nick's daily SP roundup over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the bullpen and check out the relievers that got saves and the closers that pitched outside of save situations or blew their saves. Starting with the former, Edwin Diaz secured his 10th save with a hitless 9th. Diaz has not allowed a run since returning from a suspension earlier this week. Daniel Hudson recorded his 4th save with a hitless 9th. Evan Phillips pitched a perfect 6 with the Dodgers down by 1. Phillips hadn't pitched since last Saturday, so the Dodgers got him in the game in a low-leverage situation to get him some maintenance work. Jason Adam locked down his 4th save, striking out the side in order in dominant fashion. Pete Fairbanks had pitched in 2 of the past 3 days, so I think the Rays preferred Adam on back-to-back and 3 of the past 4 than Fairbanks. Clay Holmes is up to 21 saves after a perfect 9th on Friday. The controversial All-Star has pieced together consecutive scoreless outings for the first time since June 7th and 9th. Josh Hader notched his 18th save with a perfect 9th. Hader has struck out 6 of the past 10 batters he's faced. David Bednar secured his 17th save with a perfect 9th. Bednar showed no signs of rust in his return from the injured list. Kyle Finnegan continued his great season with a perfect 9th that netted him his 24th save. It was a good bounce back after Finnegan surrendered runs in each of his past 2 outings. And lastly, Hector Neris recorded his 13th save. Neris needed only to lock down the final 2 outs after Hunter Bidge failed to secure a 5-run lead. And now we'll check out the closers to pitch outside of save situations or blow their saves. Camilo Duvall pitched a scoreless 9th with the Giants up by 6. Duvall hadn't pitched in a week, so this was a maintenance outing. Mason Miller pitched a scoreless 9th with the A's up by 4. Miller has just 4 saves since the beginning of June. Jason Foley came on in the 8th to pitch out of a jam, but he failed to do so and took his 3rd loss. Foley also has just 4 saves since the beginning of June. Alexis Diaz worked around a run, pitching the ninth with the Reds up by four. Diaz hadn't pitched since last Sunday and was in need of some action. Carlos Estevez pitched a scoreless ninth in a tie game. The Angels would go on to win in 10 innings. Andrés Muñoz pitched a hitless ninth on the other side of that one. With two more walks on Friday, Muñoz has a concerning 18% walk rate since the beginning of June. And lastly, Chad Green took his second loss, serving up a walk-off in a tie game in the ninth. Green likely won't have the closer role out of the All-Star break, though we could earn it back after the trade deadline. But if you'd like a breakdown of notable relief pitching performances from Friday, check out the Daily Reliever Ranks article over on pitcherlist.com. And before we look forward to today's games, we're going to take a quick break.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business, like Delta Airlines. Together with T-Mobile for Business, Delta Airlines is putting 5G into the hands of ground staff so they can better assist on-the-go travelers with real-time information. From the Delta Sky Club to the Jet Bridge, this is elevating customer experience. And Tractor Supply trusts 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business to connect over 2,200 stores around the country with 5G business internet. Plus, T-Mobile is powering AI solutions so Tractor Supply team members can match shoppers with the products they need faster. This is enriching customer experience. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Hi, I'm Josie. My daughter turns 5 today. I'm also an Ohio State Highway Patrol trooper. When you move over and slow down, you're making sure I can get home to celebrate with my daughter.
When you see flashing lights, remember, they're not just roadside workers. Thank you for moving over and slowing down.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
Now we'll look forward to Saturday, July 13th, a day in which we'll have a full slate of 16 games, as there will be a doubleheader in St. Louis between the rival Cubs and Cardinals. That should be fun. My matchup of the day, though, is Seth Lugo versus Cutter Crawford. We got two reliable but not flashy starters squaring off as they look to continue their breakout campaigns. In terms of probable starters, we've got five guys in the auto starts tier, including both Lugo and Crawford. We've also got George Kirby in Anaheim, Grayson Rodriguez versus the Yankees, and Reynaldo Lopez in San Diego. Our probably starts tier has seven guys, and that's where we'll find our streamer of the day in Christian Scott versus the Rockies. Scott has been serviceable all year and maintains a sneaky high ceiling as a youngster, and against the Rockies and Queens, the chance Scott has at a great start is much higher. I'd also keep an eye out for Gavin Williams in Tampa Bay. Williams is back after a heavily delayed start to the year. His first start wasn't good, but he turned things around last time out, and Williams could find success in Florida by keeping his curve down and stealing strikes with his cutter. In terms of hitter suggestions, I go for Cubs and Cardinals hitters in a doubleheader in St. Louis. It's always good to target players with the chance for double at-bats. I'd also go for Reds hitters against Edward Cabrera in Cincinnati. Cabrera is still getting acclimated to the majors after a lengthy injury absence, and the Reds bats will be boosted by the friendly confines of Great American Ballpark. And now we'll close things out with our relievers to watch. Chad Green has pitched on consecutive days, so Nate Pearson will be turned to in any safe situation that arrives today. Josh Hader has pitched on back-to-back days and in three of the past four. Both Ryan Pressly and Brian Abreu have also pitched on back-to-back days, so Rafael Montero may be turned to in the ninth today. Mason Miller has pitched twice in the past 3 days, and the A's have been pretty conservative with his usage this year, so Lucas Ursedge is likely to be the temporary closer today. And lastly, Kyle Finnegan has pitched in each of the past 2 games, but so has Hunter Harvey, so Dylan Floro could get a shot at a save today. But that'll do it for today's episode of the First Pitch Podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherlist.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Join PL Pro to gain access to the Discord to interact with Pitcherlist staff and members of the community, as well as to utilize the in-season tools to help you win your leagues. That'll wrap up this edition of the podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Jake Crumpler. Tune in tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast, and make sure to enjoy the day. We are blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store or online today. Ashley, for the love of home.